بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت حذیفہ رضی اللہ عنہ is known as the صاحب السر, is the keeper of secrets of رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. And he would remember every event, every prediction. But for the advantage of the Muslims in general, he would not express it to all and sundry. So when he went on asking Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about predictions, etc., then Rasul Pak first advised him, Zayfa, hold on to the Quran Sharif. An indication that one way to secure oneself and rescue oneself from all the fitna is Quran Sharif. And Quran Sharif is at two levels. One is at the level of the public, stick to the recitation of the Quran Sharif. And I say it, easy way to get this is just come earlier to the masjid for every namaz, be it Fajr or Isha, but just come earlier. And when you come earlier to the masjid, then just focus on your work, not any side talk, no discussion, no is there any change in the furniture of the masjid, the clock new, is it right or not right? Everything will take its course. You do your work. Just have a Quran Sharif, a little bit of a marker, your marker, and you recite it, or you stop, you're starting off from that point. So just stick on to that. So that is for all and sundry. But those that have some understanding of Arabic, ulama, etc., then they must look at some translation as well. Even if it is just four lines, look at the translation, because they have studied Jalalain, Tarjuma, etc., they have studied. And obviously it will be unfair to the Quran that you have studied the whole translation and you're not referring to it at all. Very, very unfair. It'll be learned the whole Quran Sharif and the translation, but we're not making any reference to it whatsoever. In my very weak understanding, what I found, that you refer to the Quran Sharif all the time, as you were guided by Ustad seniors, and they were guided by their elders. So in conformity with the same style, you won't go off, inshallah. But in the process, you will find a lot of solutions, problems, new developments, situations coming up, and you will want some type of a direction. As you recite, and you look at the tarjama, but I'd say tarjama not for everybody, those that study. And those that are interested, that haven't studied, they can refer to some alim, someone that is quite involved, he has a good understanding, and even if it is three lines or four lines, but he's explaining it to you. And don't leave until you have got it nice in your mind. You have got it settled in your mind, then throughout the day think around that lines, what you've learned. Right, this is the three lines or the four lines that I've learned. I must allow my mind to grasp it, for the contents to be digested, to see it in perspective. I will find a different perspective of the Quran Sharif, a different meaning. Now, the disservice we are doing is, either we just are contending ourselves with the recitation, or those that are looking at translation, they are not pondering and they are not contemplating on the contents. If, for example, a simple understanding of contemplation is, for example, you came across the verse, Inna Allaha bima ta'amaluna basir. Allah Ta'ala is watching all that you do. Now, you are applying that verse, Allah Ta'ala is watching what I'm doing. So in my business, Allah Ta'ala is watching. Am I doing it right or not right? Is there any flaw? Am I robbing someone? Am I cheating someone? Am I delaying some payment? If there's a client, it's a woman client, Allah Ta'ala is watching what I'm doing. I'm talking to her, what am I talking about? Is it required for me to talk? Is there any sensual pleasure within my mind? I want to do this. Is there any type of pleasure that's lurking and lingering in my mind? So if this thought, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ, is strongly rooted in your mind, right, into your heart, then you will see life differently. You'll see it and you'll see it differently. Your understanding will be different. Therefore, the Mufassirin say that what is the meaning of hikmat? See, we come across the verse, يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. So, the best thing that you can get is hikmat, wisdom. And that wisdom is the understanding of deen, right? But not just the understanding with the application. That's called hikmat. That you got the understanding, but you got it with the grace of applying it. You learned, for example, about miswak, just for example, a simple thing, and the virtues of it, right? So, once you've learned it, now apply it. Now you've got the hikmah. Now that understanding will improve all the time. Understanding of deen, you will see deen, you will understand, you will be able to apply it even better. Why? Because the giver is Allah Ta'ala. He gives knowledge. He educates. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. You be careful, take care of Allah Ta'ala, and He will teach you. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. You take care of Allah Ta'ala, and He will teach you. So that means that knowledge comes from above. He teaches you. But what He wants you is to take care. At any given time, are you taking care of Allah Ta'ala? In the midst of your pleasure, enjoyment, happiness, you think of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala didn't say don't have that enjoyment, don't have that happiness, don't have friends. Allah Ta'ala didn't say that. But yes, He did say, وَاتَّقُوا. In the midst of all that, remember Allah Ta'ala, be conscious of Allah Ta'ala. Let it not be that I'm with my friends, and then sometime ghibat is started off, and sometime it is gossiping, sometime it is taking a shot in the dark, guesswork, right? I haven't investigated the whole thing. I'm just talking about it, but I haven't investigated the whole thing, right? It's just based on hearsay. Or it is not needed by him. Or we heard about this person here, that he did a certain wrong, right? So now we take it in a public forum and say that this person wears a kurta and all, but this is what he did. But I ask you now, does it concern us? Number two, have we investigated it personally? To be able to talk about it, did you investigate the whole thing? There may be some misinformation, there may be some exaggeration, there may be something added to the story, something cut out of the story. But now you're just relating a story without the proper investigation, and you became a victim. You have that suspicion, the doubt, and the reservation about a person without any proof. But now, you see this wisdom, what it means. يُؤْتِ الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Wisdom. So to understanding with the right application. Not just the understanding, it's not called wisdom. Because if there's no application, then your understanding just terminates at that point. Allah doesn't allow your understanding to improve. But if you're applying it, then He allows it to improve. He applies it, He allows it to improve, right? That's the law in this world here, that you lose what you don't use. You got a limb, using it nicely, Allah allows it to continue. But you keep it in one posture for 2 months, now you need to go for therapy to be able to reuse the thing. That's a law of Allah Ta'ala. You use it and you will not lose it. But you don't use it, now you start losing it. You use it and you will not lose it. I was just saying, my friend now, the non-Muslims perhaps, they may be wondering, or sometimes they may be envious and jealous, right? That this Muslims, right, they say, in their slang word, they say slumos, right? So they're spending and they're still getting, spending so much in avenues, charity, here, there, everywhere. But there's mean. So Allah Pak is saying, you're using, so you will not lose. You will use, you will not lose. And they only believe in what their eyes see. So you're going to use, you're going to lose. A million, we gave 100,000. So we lost now. We can't get the 100,000 again. And that Muslim is thinking, oh, you spend yunfaq ali, anfiq yunfaq ali. You spend, Allah Pak will spend. So he believes in Allah Ta'ala's promises. You use and you don't lose. So hikmat, to understand it correctly, with the proper right application. And in all this, things that don't relate, that concept, just leave it out. Especially as we preparing for the Mubarak month of Ramadan, right? Already in Shaban, and now just in a few days or something, it will be Ramadan. So let it not be that we come right to the end of Ramadan and say, hey, now we lost out, we didn't show the right appreciation, and we lost out. We got the time now, program, work yourself, train yourself, to come into a right programming. All the things that don't concern you, what's happening in America, if a bomb fell in Japan, and there was an earthquake in Italy, whatever. It doesn't concern you. What about the earthquake within yourself? What about the war that's within your mind, shaitan and nafs? They're fighting it out there. Nafs and your soul, your ruh. Your soul are fighting it out. Your soul is saying, your ruh is saying, don't do this haram. And your nafs might do it, man. Just enjoy it for the moment. But there's a war carrying on. Sometimes there's a turbulence. Sometimes there's an earthquake within your mind. Worried about Japan, worried about Italy, worried about Spain. Yeah. You don't even know the news. Who's the captain of, who's the rugby captain of South Africa? You don't even know that. What a big guna kabira that is. Now, what you're supposed to know, I ask you, right, what was the father of Rasulullah? What is his name? What is his grandfather's name? What is his great-grandfather's name? Right? Who was the sahabi that used to write down the wahi for Rasulullah? Who? Angyas, I don't know about that. What you're supposed to know, we don't know. And we don't take out the pain to find out. And these people here, whose backs are all soiled up with najis, right? They wash. For years they don't wash, right? All plastered with najis, with impurities. That you want to know about them, their private lifestyle, you got the photos and the albums and signatures and all that. And you consider it as a pride, right? But look at the napak lives, the filthy lives that they are living. What they're eating is filth. Innamal mushrikuna najasun. Filth. Eating swine, wine, all napak they're eating. Their bodies are napak. But yes, you gloat about them, you're proud about them. But you're supposed to know who you're supposed to be related to, that date you forgot them. So this wisdom, Allah grants it. Allah says that's the best thing that you can get. Best. I was explaining to someone, see, the road to Allah Ta'ala is so easy, right? And the procedure is so easy as well. Right? The dua that we're supposed to be reciting is also so easy and read by us. But how many of us do it with the presence of the mind? See, we have two type of situations. We have worldly problems, whether it's business, health, family, domestic, so on, right? And we had our dini things, right? Our road to Jannah. So every person has these two trials, these two challenges in life, whether it's domestic, whether it's business, whether it is family, extended, immediate, right, or health. It's one type of a challenge he has. And the second challenge he has is about his deen. Now, the solution Allah Pak shows is so easy, so simple. Because of its simplicity, we forget it. What he said, make this dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Show us the straight path. I ask you, if Allah Ta'ala shows you the right path in your business, then you're going 100%. The business, you don't have to make, you don't have to go in long chakkar, study this one here, and learn about this, go here, find out here, fall 50 times and then come up. Nothing. Why? He's guided you. So you're going into one business, you put in, and your mind is at ease, you're settled, you're comfortable, and you're going on. See? Because you begged Allah Ta'ala, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, show us the right path. And it's a general statement, it's not just constricted or constrained to deen, in all our lives. So, if you got the right path, then it becomes so much more easier, your mind is at ease, you settle, alright, buy this product. Allah put it to your mind, buy this product. Making it, your mind is not in a chakkar, right? Offer the person a credit, you're offering, right? So, you got the right path, and you're moving. In your deen, you're not going in a chakkar, you're not going in a circle, like, hey, I must go and try here, try this person here, try the third person, the fourth person, after trying 100 people, and after 30 years, then you come right. So Allah is saying, ask, beg of me, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. There isn't anything that is as great as the right path. I ask you, think about it very carefully, is there anything as important as the straight path? And you say straight, you know, straight, straight. Then that means the shortest distance between two points, the straight road. Two points, shortest. So that's called the sirat al-mustaqim. Even in your math, you say that shortest distance between two points, right? When you talk about it, talk about it. So Allah, you ask Allah Ta'ala, and you're begging, and you're crying. And if you're not doing that, then you're going in circles. You're allowing your nafs to have the better over you, you're allowing people to have the better over you. And what a problem you can go through. All this is because of excess information. What information I don't need, what media I don't need, I must read the thing. What's going on, what's cutting, who's saying what, who's doing, right? I must know about that. But I ask you, how does it connect to your life? How does it connect to your Jannat? How does it connect to your Akhirat? Does it connect, does it relate? Now you got that additional information, I ask you, what is the quality of your namaz? Is the quality of your namaz improved? Or in the process of your namaz, this person did this, that person. Then coming at the salam, amen, my time all went away. In that person's fight, and this person's quarrel, and the third person's information, my whole namaz went away. What I read up in the WhatsApp, all that was just one playing now after my inside my namaz. And the worst thing is now, it played up, the whole thing played up in your namaz, and after namaz, straight away you want to see, hey, what's the latest development after that? So the namaz was just an analysis of what happened, right, in the past. And after the namaz, then you will continue. Now, that namaz, is that namaz? Think to yourself. That's why I say, one easy way to get this thing right, is just come early to the masjid, for any namaz and every namaz. Dioban had a very good style. Dioban and all that area, they call it Dawaba. All our Buzughanadin normally come from that area. So, Islam, the spirit of Islam in that area is quite rich, very rich, very rich. Let's say very fertile. Masalan qaryatan kanat amina. So that's the whole cream of India. So the style there in Dioban was that the azan goes at least half an hour before the namaz. So someone is coming late, here the azan is preparing. So at least it's 15 minutes before the time in the masjid. Yeah, you're getting 15 minutes. So you're going to toilet, pisab, pani. In the meanwhile, the namaz started. You're just bending, squeezing. Hey, sir, just making it. There's a lot of problems within that. I was looking at the tafsir. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعَدُ السَّيَّارَةِ Yusuf Ali Islam's brothers, they are conniving, plotting against him, right? So they got this verse here, يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعَدُ السَّيَّارَةِ A caravan of travelers may just pick him up. So now they speak about a lukta. Lukta is a lost property, right? So they're showing two dimensions of a lost property, right? See, that's why I say ulama must look at it, and the common person must look at that recitation and then ask, right? Get some alim, come into some good terms and agreement with him. You're taking out time for everything else. You can't go to Mr. Spurs and pay another 500 rand for a meal. Right? The same meal could have been 500 rand cheaper, right? But that 500 had to go to Mr. Spurs. If I go spend that little bit of money, go to some nice alim, just explain us this verse here. Half a page, three quarter page, explain us nicely. So we got our minds right, we're thinking right, understanding it right. Where there's a will, there must be a way. Allah Pak will make it such. You've got an intention, you want to do things for your deen. Remember, once your eyes close, It's just you and Allah, nobody else. Nobody, no third person. You understand the worthlessness of wealth at that point. Just now in this 1 week, there were 2-3 incidents. All the nature of it was the same. This morning it was the same. I think 1-2 days ago it was the same. And past was something similar. Right? But I just want to show you the worthlessness, the helplessness of wealth, right? All these people I'm talking about, all, three of them, right? All ultra wealthy. Ultra means the billionaire group, right? That. But now what I want to share with you, I don't want to condemn the wealth or speak out against the wealth. Now they got children and they became grandfathers. So the children is about 25 years of age. So they are grandfathers and the children are already fathers. Now they discovered, it's a long story, but I'm just cutting the whole story down. They went for some type of an examination, some type of a scan, and they made out that the child has got cancer. Now, you could have just seen the person when he got the report that the child has got cancer. The words that came out of his mouth, what's the use of life and wealth when this happened to my child? Aajkal ka mehman hai, I don't know when he'll leave today, tomorrow, some of them left already, from these three people, some of them already left. What's the use of all this wealth, all the cosmetics, aesthetics, the beauty of my lounge, my house, etc. What's the value of it when I've lost the dearest? The cherry of the heart is gone, what's the use? But what a wonder it would have been if this realization came before that. Now you understand the worthlessness of this wealth when we're struck with this calamity. But the better thing would have been that we realize the worthlessness of this wealth before that thing strikes. Before that thing strikes. Understand? So we're talking about this yaltaqitu ba'du sayyara. And then Jiva has got a style, you know, to coax me to do something. He wants me to do something. He's got a style now. It was morning you spoke about that tafsir, it was too good, man. It really affected me. Now I know something is coming after that. So you give bribes in different ways. So I said, what was so beautiful? So he says about, you know, yaltaqitu ba'du sayyara. I spoke about it. So in the tafsir there were 2-3 things that they've explained. One is, we don't obstruct a taraf. See, there's a taraf here. So wherever there's a taraf, people are using it. Respect everybody's rights. The taraf is the right of every person. A parking area is everybody's rights. Every musalli has got a right. Equal rights. Right. So we don't obstruct it. You can obstruct it in different ways. One is incorrect parking. One is you all in a taraf and we sat standing and discussing. And I said, well, it's all right to discuss, all right, we don't stop you. But now that's a taraf. I tell my friends, even in the top masjid, right, there's a railing, right? There's a railing on either side. And the railing is everybody's right. Now, a person is a little weak or a little bit old, he needs a little bit of support and he's going. Now, we are reclining against that thing and having a cool, comfortable discussion. Are we depriving that person of his right? I ask you, what was the railing for? The railing was for that aged person, for that weak person that uses it as support, and he comes down, oh, he ascends. But now we're jamming this whole place. I say, are we right or not right? And apart from that, is there any direction in the hadith about a taraf? Yes, there is a direction. Without saying there's a direction. That the person that is blocking a taraf is blocking it. Car, put his car there. Everybody's taraf is being blocked. Or you're standing there and people's taraf is being blocked. Allah fala jihad Allah. No ibad, everything is rejected. His jihad, his efforts for deen, all rejected. Now you're spending so much for striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala and doing whatever else. But then you are blocking someone else's right. It's a taraf, it's a railing. Right? Everybody's got a right. And I say the weak, the old, the aged, the sick, they have got a greater right to this. It was meant there, put up there by some good person, for the weak, for the aged, to use it as a support and go down. Now you go and lean against that thing, whilst people are coming out of the masjid. If one is now, it's an odd time, nobody is there, and nobody is passing at all. So just for that moment, if you could, alright, that's also not too good, but you will overlook that. But now there is the traffic that is coming and going, and we remain there. Now how that person, he doesn't have the heart to tell you. And he knows if he tells you, you will tell him 10 things. He said, just to keep the peace, let me just remain silent, I'll go through the difficulty and continue. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْدُ السَّيَّارَةِ. So do we think about it? Islam as a complete, perfect model of life. Do we ever think about it? Similarly, if there's something that's going to obstruct the traffic of people, it's going to hurt them, injure them, inconvenience them, it is also an etiquette to remove it from the road. It's some thorn, something that someone will slip upon, something that is not right, not supposed to be there. Do we have that little bit of tawfiq to pick that thing up and throw it aside? One person earned his jannah there. There was a thorny branch on the road. He removed it. Just removed it, and he earned his jannah. Sometimes you see that on a road, alright, on a road, on a highway, on a freeway, it may be difficult going at 100 now, and you saw a rock on the road, right? Sometimes it can happen. It's going to be difficult to move the thing away, right? But if it's a small side road, and you can see a rock there, something there, and it doesn't risk your life or anybody's life, take the trouble, remove it. Even though if a non-Muslim is passing through, you're going to get reward. That man got his jannah for that. Just a thorny branch, he removed it from the path, and he earned his jannah. See, this public rights. Everybody has got an equal right. Any public facility, people got all people got equal rights. It's a toilet or a wuzu khana. Everybody got equal rights. Now you're sitting there, it's crowded, you can see it's crowded, and you're taking 5 minutes to make miswak. Now, is that right? You could have done your miswak standing there in the queue. But now you must sit on that wuzu khana seat, do your miswak. That person is waiting. He can't tell you anything because he knows there can be some type of trouble. Let me just keep quiet. But it's getting delayed. Can you see that? Everybody got equal rights. Wuzu khana, the toilet, right? You leave it in a state better than you left it, better than you visited it. Alright, it may have not been in a very good state, but after you have come out, the toilet is in a better state than you had visited. Everybody's right. And don't waste time. Now somebody's sitting there smoking. Agarbati gang. Sometimes you hear of people now, they got stacks of magazines in the toilet. All places. In what posture you are sitting, what's underneath you? Read that magazine. Zara sharmane ki baat hai. To feel ashamed about. Sometimes you're the boss of the house, nobody can tell you anything, but is that the right thing? It's not the place to do all these things here. See, this shaitanic influences are from here. Unnecessary sitting here in a naked posture. The shaitanic influences in 3-4 places, you know, people get jinnat and jadu problems. A lot of it is because of these 4 reasons. Napak places, toilet, right? Isolated spots like beaches or the other places the hadith indicates is a bazaar, is a shopping area like a mall, etc. is where shaitans frequent, the nursery, shaitans nursery is there. Now we made that spot an entertainment. But the hadith is saying that the shaitan caught its nursery there, he lays his eggs there, right? All the, it's that place where everything breeds up. And you getting into the place, you're finding enjoyment in that. Now won't you get affected? Or it is your home and you're not clad correctly. Or you got music, right? Or there's some najasat, right? There's some photography that's carrying on, right? There's no recitation of the Quran Sharif in the house. No zikr, no recitation of the Quran Sharif. And these things must find their way. Right, this daily recitation, this zikr, this ibadah, this ta'lim, there's no picture, there's no music, right? I don't say it can't be affected, but not very badly. I think also get tired after time. But they're not leaving me. Someone is coming and he's saying Quran Sharif. He's starting, yeah, he's making zikr. That person coming and making ta'lim. This one is making namaz. That one is crying around for Allah Ta'ala. How can I endure this place here? You know, the tear, that cry for Allah Ta'ala is so powerful. If you can put up the whole fire of Jahannam, that tea of yours, what it'll do to your house? But is there any person crying? Any person crying for the ummah, for yourself, seeing the masjid, what's going on? Are we crying? Did we take out one day, only one day in our lives, or for this entire year to cry to Allah Ta'ala, forgive us, please. Forgive us. Forgive the ummah. See what's going on. Allah, do forgive us. Is there anybody doing that? So, jo hame karne ki karne ka kaam hai, wo to karte nahi. What we supposed to be doing, we're not doing. And what we supposed to be leaving out, and even if we're reading Islamic books and literature, many a time it is just for entertainment. It's someone's book now, some magazine, or the radio, or listen to it, or see now, who's catching it? Who's giving the shots, and who's catching it? I ask you, is that your deen? Your deen is about entertainment, or it is about you coming closer to the akhirat, coming closer to Allah Ta'ala? What is it? If it's entertainment, carry on. That's your deen. Your deen is entertainment, pastime, to see now who's getting smashed down, who's coming up. That's your deen. But if your deen is to bring greater recognition, concern, consciousness, and awareness of Allah Ta'ala, then that's not the thing. So we're talking of hikmat, and I just had to explain, elucidate this whole aspect of hikmat, wisdom. So people have got it wrong. See. Definitions are wrong. Understanding of deen is wrong. Something is quoted and quoted out of context. Right? Then you got a whole confusion of deen. Whole absolute confusion, concocted version of deen. But it's because of multiple reasons. One is listening to too many programs. One program here, this person, that person. And it may be that they are right. But now you've got misunderstanding. You just took one thing, right? And you ran away with it, right? Or you took something that you felt was good for you. That you ran away with it. But you didn't get the full story. When you didn't get the full story, now you brought a confusion to yourself, to your deen, to your folks. You brought a confusion. Now, how many times this thing happens? Sometimes you want to extort something just to justify. Pull out something. Why? Just to justify. Alamgir Aurangzeb, he was the king of India. Around 50 years he ruled. About the most successful king from the Mughal Empire, most successful. In his zamana, one married woman, she was involved for some zina, whatever it was, adultery or whatever. So now the court had ruled against her, this crime, and you need to be stoned to death. So now, she is in that state now, in a state of real ghabrat. You know. I'll be a mihman in 2-3 hours, I've got a sentence, death sentence against me. In 2-3 hours, I'm going to just wrap up, I'm going to go. Now what must I do? See, so you get one class of people that want a certain type of an answer. But I have to go to a certain type of person to pull out a certain type of an answer just for my convenience, not for deen. One is for my convenience, and one is purely for deen. So she goes to one alim, says, you know, I've been a problem, I'm in a fix, and I'm going to be stoned to death because I committed this crime. So he says, you know, the world works around, see right. You see me right, I'll see you right. Alright, what must I do? Give me a million, and I'll see you right. So as long as you guarantee me that my life is safe and spared, so, yeah, I guarantee you. But you must respect that promise of yours. You must respect that 1 million, you must cough out. So all you need to plead to the judge. You see, I went for one bayan, and the Mawlana said in that bayan that are zalimo tum zina karte ho, you stupid things, you're making zina here. So I was sitting outside the masjid and I heard the bayan. And the Mawlana was going on, you do this, such a big sin, such a big curse, the iman leaves you, etc. But if you need to, you can't manage with one, then take the second one. And if you can't take the second, you can't, that is all sufficient, take the third one. If also, that is also all sufficient, then the fourth one. So I went to try the second, because the first one wasn't sufficient, the second one, third one. Who's speaking? The woman is speaking. Now the judge is hearing now. He understands that this woman is a real jahil. That this was supposed to be applicable to a man, not to a woman. But in her ignorance, she thought it's applicable to her. So he threw the case out. See that he threw the case out. Now you asking that answer for your own convenience, not for seeing what is right, what Allah Pak wants, but to save yourself from the situation you are finding out, right? According to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi, that la yuharrimu al-mastatu wal-mastatan. If someone, if a child, right, in the time of breastfeeding, the time of breastfeeding is 2 years. So within the 2 years, if the child just suckled once or twice, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi says that this doesn't declare that person to be haram. See, that person becomes your milk brother, right? Sister, milk brother, right? So if it was just one or two sucklings, it will not bring about this prohibition in marriage. If both had suckled the milk of one woman, then you will not say that it is impermissible for them to marry. Her breastfeeding is like her profession. Right? She does that as a business. So she breastfed this boy and this girl, two are strangers. The other imam says it's impermissible. Right? Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah says it is permissible. If it's just once or twice, then they can marry. It will not amount to a prohibition in the marriage. Now, they got married. One person came around and said, but you know what? I breastfed both of y'all. They are witnesses. These are the witnesses that these people were breastfed by me. And these are the witnesses. It's a close case. There are witnesses there. And the woman also acknowledges that I was the one that breastfed. Now they love each other and they can't separate. So I'm going to one Mawlana, one Mufti Sahib, second one, just to extract a permissible fatwa. Fatwa of permissibility. So again you get another person who says, alright, see me right and I will fix it up. Alright, fix it up. You see us right? Alright, how will you fix it up? Alright, see, this is the hadith. That لا تحرموا المستة والمستتان. One suckle or two suckles will not bring about a prohibition in marriage, right? So, this person, he declares that that woman had suckled just once. So therefore, the prohibition cannot be announced. So the Qazi now is under duress to give a fatwa, give a ruling accordingly. Information received, according to the information received, he is giving a fatwa, right? Now see how it happened, how it worked out. But I ask you, were these people present at that time? This child that is saying, that woman just breastfed me one, was he thou at that time, was he conscious to count, alright, mother just breastfed once or twice? Was he conscious to do all these things? But now just to somehow cover up the story, make it feel and look at as permissible, justifiable, you have to create a story and present it to whoever is the authority and make it look permissible. Now that's the name of the game today. That everything must look permissible, must look smart, must look permissible. But is it right if you do it? In so many areas, you know, is it right? Or are we trying to force a right? One is to be right and one is to force and make it look right. But the easy thing was, I was reading an article. More time, I thought about Munshi Jamaluddin, right? So, you see these places, Hyderabad, Bhopal, etc. At some point, they were Islamic states. Now, that Bhopal, the whole thing, population like South Africa, so big, so he's the head of the state. So, the head of the state at that time was one woman, but the wazir, like wazir is the prime minister. And the prime minister will have like more rights to the kingdom than the king herself, that's the queen herself. She is the queen, and the prime minister is Jamaluddin, Munshi Jamaluddin. So they made nikah, so he's retained his work, and she is still the queen. Now look at the people at that time. Their fair play, their understanding, their consciousness. You know, he said, Inna Allah bima ta'amaluna basir. But now look at their fair play, the understanding of deen, and they were the peoples that were the recipients of hikmat. Now, he is the prime minister and he leads the namaz. So right at the time that they are lining up for the namaz, one Pathan comes out and say, you are not fit to be doing the imamat because your wife doesn't observe parda in public. She's the queen now, and she has to sit in parliament, and the whole parliament has to view her, right? So she's not conducting herself, right? She's not wearing the niqab. If she's not wearing the niqab, then you are the husband, you are not eligible, you are not fit to be doing the imamah. She's straight talk. What a beautiful zamana it must have been in India. You know, right was right, wrong was wrong. There was no grey area. Now there's so much of grey area, you can't make out what's the right and wrong. All grey. Mixed up inside, that's everything is mixed up. Like a kachumar, like a chutney it is. Can't make out. Now when he said that, see, your wife doesn't don the parda and you can't do the namaz, he hesitated, he can't go front. And the prime minister is there, the head of the state is there, nobody's got the courage to go and lead the namaz. So this Pathan Sahib, he went and led the namaz. Nobody objected. You must be such a courageous person. But you know, you enjoy this type of prayer, really. You must talk. Say it right. Don't have to abuse and insult anybody. But say things as they were. You know. We know whether we're going right or we're going wrong. Maybe say it strictly or firmly, but say it. You try, you know, I know you're going wrong. After 10,000 kilometers of driving, then I tell you you're going wrong. But you rather told me at the beginning, I would have wasted my time. Why you shouted me that I'm in the wrong lane? That's also alright. I would have felt it for the moment, but I would have appreciated it that I didn't waste my time. 10,000 kilometers, then you're telling me. Now the namaz is over. So look at this wazir, the prime minister. He comes to his wife while the wife is in a parliament session. And he's announcing to her, see, wife, see, because of you, I couldn't perform the namaz today. Asar namaz, I couldn't leave. Because of this. So you either start paying your parda now, before the end of this session, otherwise take 3 talaqs. You see that straight talk. And really, you appreciate this straight talk. Straight, see it as it were. Don't mince around. Don't cut your talks. Don't mix up. Say it straight. So, the person that is receiving, he knows what is straight, he knows what is right, he knows what is wrong, right? He knows that this is a wrong area, this is a doubtful area, and this is a right area, he knows it clearly. But now, the way we mix it up, the man doesn't know whether it's right, seems right or not actually, but alright, you know what, don't do it again. So we have that approach. So what? How does that person respond to it? He said, well, what's such a serious thing? If it was a serious thing, then he wouldn't have given such a mild answer. He's giving a strong answer. Sometimes, see, in fiqh they got a chapter like Saddu Zarai, you know, closing the doors, right? In the Maliki fiqh it's used more, but it's used in us also. Amongst us also it's also used, Saddu Zarai. So one of the kitabs that are taught throughout all the Arabic madrasas is Nurul Anwar, right? It's a principle of fiqh. The writer is Mullah Jeevan, all know about him, right? Very brilliant person. He's the writer of this kitab here, Mullah Jeevan of Mutlali. So he's like the grand mufti at the time of Shah Jahan. Shah Jahan now is the father of Alamgir of Mutlali, right? So now he's of such a maqam that now for 3 centuries in succession his kitab has been taught in all madrasas, whether here, India, Pakistan, America, London, wherever, but his kitab is being taught. It's so perfect. Right? So now in his zamana, someone comes up and asks, you know what, the king is asking, Shah Jahan is asking, about the permissibility of wearing silk. Right? Now, in certain constraints, circumstances, some fuqaha have allowed it. You know, if it's not agreeing, like you see my sleeves are folded, right? So I got an allergy. That cloth touches this, it irritates. It adds to that allergy. So I have to fold it up, so there's no irritation. The hand goes right, see? So now, he's got a bad irritation or allergy or something, right? So he's asking now, can I wear silk? Who's asking the king of the time? So Mullah Jeevan Rahmatullah, he is the grand mufti of the time. He says, I'm going to give this answer in the Jama Masjid at the Jummah. At the Jummah, ask me this question, and I will give the answer at the Jama Masjid, where the whole Masjid is crowded. India Jama Masjid, Delhi, can take about 200,000. I don't know if you've seen it, right? So such a crowd it takes. Now the Masjid is choked, 200,000 people. And this Mustafti, this questioner, is asking the question to Mullah Jeevan Rahmatullah Ali, like the Quran Mufti at the time. So what is, how is it wearing silken cloth? So he says it's straight. See how he's coming. So I said, you know, saddu zarai, to close the doors, right? So he says, Mustafti wa Mufti, the Mustafti, the one that is questioning, and the Mufti, both of them are kafirs, khalas. The Mustafti and the Mufti, both of them are kafirs. Now, who is he referring to? Shah Jahan. And Shah Jahan's special man, he's presenting the question. But he said, both of them are kafirs. End of the story. Now, Shah Jahan, subpoenas the man, Mullah Jeevan Rahmatullah, that I was character assassination. Right in public, I was insulted. So, subpoena and just bring him to court, you know, try him out. So the sheriff is about to go and fetch Mullah Jeevan Rahmatullah. When Alamgir Rahmatullah Ali tells his father, see, on this side what's happening, Mullah Jeevan heard about you sending a person to apprehend him and bring him to court. Right? And he says, alright, you are equipping yourself to punish the man, either with death or whatever. And he is also preparing himself. How he's preparing himself? He's going to make wuzu. What he says? I'm going to make wuzu. So Alamgir says, hey, you better just hold your horse now. It's a very dangerous thing. Tabah ho jao. So that is not an ordinary man. He says he's equipping himself. How is he equipping himself? Making wudu. Because al-wudu salahul mu'min. The wudu is the defense. It's the defense of a Muslim. So he's equipping himself. Tabah ho jayega. He will get destroyed just now. Alright, now what must I do then? See. What must I do? You see this. Allah wala. Allah wala gives them that type of an awe. Human beings, even jinnat, begin to be afraid of them. You hear of Mujaddid al-Fasani, rahmatullahi, right? So, he has come to do a reformatory work for a thousand years. Therefore, he said Mujaddid al-Fasani. All the wrongs that were in India in vogue, and he comes to bring about a reformation for that 100 years. For a thousand years. So now he's sitting in his zikr at tahajjud time, and he hears and he feels the presence of something that is strange. So, kon hum jinnat hai, we are jinnat. Alright, what you came for? I came to fetch you. Who's assigned you to come and fetch me? So and so person has assigned me to come and fetch you. Alright, now at this point, whose orders are you going to take? The sender or mine orders. Whose orders are you going to take? So I said, you know, we'll take you with all safety, with respect. Won't hurt you in the least. But you're going to receive instructions from who? So, you know, for the world, we would have taken instructions from our leader. But when it comes to you, we'll have to subdue ourselves to you. So, all right, go back and bring your leader here. You see this? When you fear Allah Ta'ala, the world fears you. The way you're supposed to fear Allah Ta'ala, be conscious of Allah Ta'ala, the presence of mind of Allah Ta'ala, when you have got that, the whole world fears you. But you start, you forget Allah Ta'ala, fear this thing, yeah, business, that, sorry, yeah, the whole host of things, and the fear of Allah Ta'ala leaves you, then the whole world is a thing to be feared. But if you fear Allah Ta'ala, haqqa tuqati, the way you're supposed to be fearing Him, then everybody treads you. The Rasulullah Pak Sosam, and there's the delegation, Persian delegation that came. And they were given instruction, two brave, powerful, you know, mighty people were sent. will apprehend Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and bring him to the Persian court. Now, two strong, powerful people. So one of them, you know, when you call this fighting with the sword and all that. So one was enough to put off 1,000 persons. He's so brilliant with the use of the sword. So just two of them were sent to apprehend Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and bring him to Persia. Now they seated there before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they're shivering actually. They're shivering. Now after they've been a little bit calmed down, what have you come for? So they're shivering, voice is fumbling. So well, this is the errand we have been sent for. Alright, just wait till the night. Tomorrow morning I will see you. By the morning Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructs them, tells them, okay, my Rabb has killed your Rabb. That is Kisra now, the head of Persia, Allah has killed him. That was the point of their conversion to Islam, that they verify the information exactly as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that this time this has happened, man had died. So when you fear Allah Ta'ala, how you're supposed to fear Him, then everything will fear you. Everything will work in conformity. Everything will work for you. All the systems will work for you. But what is required is have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Recognize your wrong. Admit the mistakes. Come with open cards to Allah Ta'ala. No, I have committed the wrong. I am definitely guilty. I don't want to cover up for my mistakes. Allah Ta'ala, I can hide from people, but I can't hide from you. You know my secret as you know my open. There's nothing that is concealed from you. So Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me. Can't we just prepare ourselves before Ramadan in this manner, the mindset, you know. I'm guilty, Allah Ta'ala, forgive me, correct me. Can't we have that mindset? أَبُوُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوُ بِذَنْبِي. Now, understand, this is when you're coming into this Mubarak era, this Mubarak period, Shaban, then Ramadan, then mind must be programmed, must be trained for that. Ask yourself, what was the reason for Rasulullah wasn't going in seclusion in Hira? Allah could have given him nubuwwah straight away, and saved people from Jahannam straight away. But now Rasulullah is going and secluding himself into Hira for couple of good months before nubuwwah. Right? So to get that mind just to Allah Ta'ala, connect, reconnect. So everything else becomes secondary, and the relationship and the connection with Allah Ta'ala is primary. See, but for that the mind needs to go in a little bit of a seclusion. So that's why I say, come a little bit early to the masjid, concentrate on yourself, recite the Quran Sharif. So it's a good preparation for the month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala.